As the EPA announced, they are assessing the Nangara, Pinja and Yanchep pine plantations after 2,000 independent bodies submitted proposals for its assessment. I spoke to Dr. Hugh Finn, who is an environmental lawyer and lecturer at Curtin Law School, regarding the EPA's decision. Hugh is a doctor of biological sciences with a particular love for our black cockatoos. I started by asking if he could provide some insight into what this proposal is for more specifically, such as potential development of the area for housing or commercial infrastructure. Given reading through the proposal description, it outlined that all remaining mature pine in the Nangara, Pinja and Yanchep pine plantations will be removed by 2025-2026.
It was what we call a third-party proposal, okay. Which allows community members to refer a proposal that hasn't been referred to the EPA before. And that's indicative of a broader issue here, is that across a long period of time, multiple decades, the state government hasn't taken accountability for the change in land use in the Nangara, Pinja, Yanchep plantation. So last year, along with a number of community groups and the Save the Black Cockatoo Coalition, we referred a proposal to the EPA. And in December, the EPA decided to put that the decision to refer, the decision to assess out for public comment. There were over 2,000 public submissions supporting the EPA decision to assess, and that there be a public environmental review. And they've recently, just last Monday, issued their outcome from that, indicating that they are going to do an environmental assessment under Part 4 of the Environmental Protection Act, and there'll be a public environmental review.
Despite being planted originally for the purpose of timber production, endangered species such as the black cockatoo, having their native habitats demolished over time, adapted to eating pine cones. This means that these forests have become integral to the survival of our black cockatoos. So, Hugh, how did this happen, and what would be the immediate impact if harvesting were to go ahead?
They're incredibly smart social birds. And so in the 1930s, there was the clearing of native habitat in Bankshire woodland and Chewett woodland to create pine plantations. And within 10 years, Carnaby's cockatoos, Noyanok, had already been in there feeding on the pine. So there's been an association between Carnaby's, Noyanok and pine in the Perth area for, almost 100 years now. And the reality is, for these birds, that the way their life cycle works is in the second half of the year, from July through to December, they go out into the wheat belt or into the forest and they breed. And so they're coming back onto the Swan Coastal Plain end of December or January with a chick of the year, just fledged, really hungry. And so they've gone to these 23,000 hectares of pine plantation. So for reference, Rottnest Island, 1,900 hectares. So this is 12 Rottnest Islands. It's the kind of thing you see from space, this huge resource that's been there when they're just coming back onto the Swan Coastal Plain, and they spend months in there. And myself, I spent time up there in 2009 following the birds, so try and get them when they woke up from their overnight roost in the morning, follow them around in a truck through the pine plantation. So they literally consume every single pine cone in that system. And then they will go back and they forage along the ground where some of the uneaten cones have fallen or have eaten ones. So they completely consume that food resource. The state government estimates from a study, and I think it was 2015, estimated that for the Perth Peel region, those pine plantations contain almost 60% of the food resource for them. And so just to cap that story, that historical, as you said, across that 100-year period where they've been associated with pine, there's been massive loss of native vegetation, particularly Bankshire woodland, which is now a threatened ecological community. So that's where we're at now, and we're really just calling for accountability for the state government, that hey, you know, you actually haven't assessed this. You haven't looked at the impact of this on a bird, which is a species level impact, given the number of birds that use the area and the size of the food resource. So that's really, it's that basic rule of law issue as well, that holding the state government to account and having a proper assessment. And what we can do both within the plantation system and in the landscape outside for these birds.
So you are calling for a moratorium, but is there a possibility of revegetation? Can replanting be a possible like solution, or is there space for negotiation in keeping part of these forests? And what considerations should or will the Environmental Protection Authority have in their assessment, or what more particularly are you calling for them to consider?
The assessment itself is somewhat odd in that the EPA has said that they'll only look at things from 1 January 2024, that they, in effect, they've said that we've actually looked at this book prior in the previous forest management plan. But if you look at the previous forest management plan and the one before that, there is nothing in there about Nangara and the pine. So our basic position that this has never really been looked at, and there's never been the accountability for the state government. But in terms of solutions, there's really three solutions, I think, here. And I guess just from the broader perspective, we have the option of either managing these species to managing their decline to extinction, which is the road we're on at the moment, or we can actually look at getting a landscape where these birds can recover so that our children and grandchildren can enjoy actually more birds than we have today, and they'll come off the threatened species list. And that's what we want. And that's consistent with what the state government has said. They've got a native vegetation policy, which says more vegetation at a landscape scale, a net gain. And so how we achieve that, I think, and my thinking about this is that we retain what pine we can, and we replant pine where it's possible. There are issues with in the system, and the EPA will look at those. But where we can retain pine, replant pine, that's excellent. The second option is to look to revegetate with native vegetation within that system where it's practicable, noting the other, the development issues and the water extraction issues as well. So that's the keep pine, replant pine. One, two would be native vegetation, revegetation within the Nangara, Pinjar, Yanchep system. And then the third one is looking outside the landscape. So we need to keep what we have. So we actually say we need a moratorium on the clearing of Banksia woodland. It's an incredibly important habitat, not only for Carnaby's and Olyanok, but for a whole range of other species. It's itself a threatened ecological community. And then we need to look at revegetation of the landscape. So how do we get a landscape? You know, this is part of the urban forest, but actually just looking across the whole Swan Coastal Plain, how do we get ecological linkages? How do we get a greater vegetated landscape, which will sustain animals, but is also great for human communities, because we know, for example, that trees in neighborhoods are wonderful in terms of shade and their cooling effect, and they can have habitat and food resources for carnivores and other native animals as well. So it's really that three, and looking creatively across the landscape, both within the pine plantation system and in the broader. And it's important in terms of, because these birds are distributed all the way across the Swan Coastal Plain. So when we, you know, it's a sort of, they're losing bits here and there. And those areas are really important because the birds transit, they move across the landscape. And you know, where the Perth Surf Park is, that was an area that the birds would use as a transit point going from to one area to another, as well as feeding within that area. So we want landscapes that can sustain these birds across the Swan Coastal Plain.
Yeah, speaking to those cross plains, as you know, there are also the current concerns around the area that was reserved for Row 89, the Coburn Corridor. So that's in the south, and you're fighting to save the north. I personally can't help but feel that the state government seem to be dragging their feet a bit when it comes to anything proactive in terms of ecological preservation, conservation, or even like carbon neutrality, given one third of our state is the mining industry. Hypothetically, if the forests in the north were cleared and the corridor in the south developed, is there any hope of our grandchildren seeing these birds in the future?
So I live right near the Roe right now, and so I'm familiar with the issues. And I think it's a good example of where the state government has a particular view of planning, and that they and it doesn't. it doesn't, it's not going to build the landscapes that we need to sustain animal, plant, and human communities into the future, particularly given we need to be thinking about adapting to climate change, working as hard as we can to mitigate, but adaptation is important, not only for humans, and there are, you know, another, the vulnerable human communities are the ones which have seen the native vegetation and trees removed from, so they're, you know, really hotter areas than the rest. So there's the urban forest dynamic to this. But we also need to be thinking, well, how do we get the plant and animal communities to be able to sustain, and not only to sustain, but to recover? And that's what we want. We want the animals and plants that are on the threatened species list at the moment. We want their populations to increase. And many of them have important habitat or are confined to the Swan coastal plain. So we need to think creatively, and we need good planning options, you know, the urban forest as much as we can, ecological linkages. So the Perth, you know, the Roe 8 Rhino Corridor is a great idea, you know, a fantastic idea for revegetation. Not to say there's not some scope for housing places within that, but needs to be sensibly done with the overall aim of maintaining a vegetative corridor and revegetating where we can. And so there's that, what we're really calling for is the state government to rethink. And, you know, they're part of the government is there because they've got this native vegetation policy, which is a bit weak, but has some good points in it. And one of it is this idea of a net gain in vegetation across the landscape. So we're just saying, well, how is this going to be achieved? And actually, if we're serious about this, we need serious revegetation across our landscape to sustain human, animal, and plant communities into the future for our kids and grandchildren.
With that revegetation, is there a timeline between planting and before you disrupt these already established areas like the forest and the corridor? Before we touch those, where do we replant, and how long does that take before these habitats are established for wildlife to, I guess, migrate or adjust to the new landscape?
No, it's a great question. And it's probably important to talk about some animals have real habitat requirements. And you know, if we look at the clearing by Alcoa and South 32 in the Jarrah Forest, they're not putting back the systems they're clearing. And so and as this goes into the future, it's going to put a different vegetation state in there, and we need to be clear about it, that's deforestation, and so we're clear about those principles. In terms of revegetation, if you're trying to recreate habitat for animals, some animals have more needs than others. And we need to really think about where it's important to keep habitat, and then we need to think really have expertise in rebuilding habitat where we can. For a lot of birds, their mobility allows them to find resources in the landscape. So, Carnaby's cockatoos are an example of that, that they are able to move across the landscape, and find food resources. And so we know that, for example, some of the banksias and hakeas, those plants that they like to eat, and indeed pine, within a sort of 7 to 10 year period from planting, from seedling to planting, you can actually have food on the branch. So we can do this fairly quickly for carnivores. It's more complex and takes longer for other animals, and that's why we really need an integrated strategy for how we're going to revegetate the landscape. But it is a good thing, and that's why Plants for Carnivores, there's lots of information. This is something we can all do in our backyards, and it will support a whole range of other native fauna as well, other than native birds, but also native animals, skinks and everything as well. So there's a way in which we can need to find those little areas of little pockets of urban forest, keep them, build them, link them, and so we do have this landscape that is better for us because it'll be cooler and it'll have all the native vegetation amenity within it, but better for plants and animals too.
So hypothetically, if part of the Nangara, Pinjar or Yanchep pine forests were to be cleared, it could be negotiated over a 10-year period to reestablish trees in other areas if certain parts of the forest did need to be demolished for any kind of development, or is it keep the entire forest irrespective of that?
Unfortunately, most of it's now gone. So it was 23,000 hectare at its peak, and it's now down to, I think, just over a bit over 5,000 left, and that will be more lost within the next year. So that's one of the reasons why we're saying saying, let's preserve the status quo. So the birds have experienced this bottleneck, the Noyanok, the Carnabys. And so when I was there in 2009, there was pine throughout the system. Now what's left is just in little blocks. And so what you get is these mega roosts of, you know, over 5,000 birds coming into a small area. And as you imagine, they rapidly do eat up all of the resource in there. So they're using up what remains. And so that's a serious, and that's why we're so, the urgency of this is actually, and why we're trying to get things done, get the moratorium, and then get the state government to be serious. Well, actually, we need to action quickly because there's already been this massive loss, and so we need to move quickly with some urgency. But the good thing is, if there is the action, and hopefully the EPA, the assessment process leads to this, that there will be some good concrete steps in terms of actually compensating for the loss of the 23,000 hectares. That's ultimately what we're getting at, is that you've actually, it's a change of land use here, which is resulting in the loss of 23,000 hectares of a feeding habitat. How are we going to compensate that in the larger landscape? And that's a lot of work to do there. But, you know, we can do work in keeping and replanting pine within the system. We can replant native vegetation. And then there's a lot of work in the landscape outside. And hey, let's keep the Bankshire woodland as well, not lose any more of that really important native vegetation.
So speaking to that, how can people get involved or help in achieving this moratorium on a very domestic level? Like, what can people do? And if they can't do anything material in terms of helping with the EPA and the government, what can residents surrounding these forests do to encourage the natural habitat for these birds? Because I know my son beams when the red tails do come to our trees, despite the mess that they often make. They are such mesmerizing creatures.
They're fantastic, and I mean the red tails are an amazing bird, and they have a bigger beak, so they're able to get into some of the bigger fruits and the seeds. But they're, you know, they're across the Swan Coastal Plain now, and so they're part of the fabric of things. So I guess that there's two points really. Is that now is the time to write to your local member and say, look, we want a good outcome for Carnabys, for Noyanok, and we recognise the importance of the pine in the Ngarra Pinjarra Yanchep system, and let's start harvesting, and let's look seriously how we're gonna make up for what's been lost for these birds. And you can write to the Minister for Forest and Minister for Environment as well. Ultimately, it will be a cabinet level decision, but that's why if we write to as many people as possible, then hopefully it gets articulated in cabinet, and cabinet can make a good decision to say, well, actually, let's see if we can do this for the birds, for the Noyanok. And so that's important. And you know, it matters. There's a large Labour caucus. So particularly if your local member is a part of the Labour caucus, fantastic. Just, you know, say, look, this is something we want. And we actually want, we don't want to manage the decline of these birds to extinction. We want a landscape in the Perthfield region which will sustain the recovery, allow these birds to recovery, so our kids and grandchildren can kind of can see them like we do and have that kinship with them. The second thing that everyone can do is, you know, have plants for Carnabys and plants for other native animals. So there's lots of resources out there, BirdLife and DBCA, the Department of Biodiversity and Conservation and Attractions. They've got a great resource, and your local garden shop will be able to point you towards food plants for cockatoos. So you can, you know, and it's a great activity to do with the family. Go and plant a food plant. They love nuts, so macadamia nuts, or you know, anything that they they'll probably find it, and that's a good thing, and that's part of the image here, is that we can get that interaction, because I think a lot about kinship, and these animals are you know, they are our kin in this landscape, and we need to be better kin to them. That's something that, you know, has been part of the fabric of Noongar culture for way back when and forever forward, and that needs to be more of how we think about our landscapes too.
Have you created a template, or is there a link to resources for people to be a bit more informed when preparing their letters for their local members?
Well, good question. There's a couple of good things out at the moment. There's the Save the Black Cockatoo Coalition. So they've got a lot of information on their website. They've done some really great work in terms of actions and for cockatoos in the forest as well. So we haven't talked about the Lebowdens, the Noyak, but they're out in the JRMA Kerry Forest as well. And so there's and then there's the recent film by Jane Hammond. Which is fantastic for cockatoos. So it's there's various screenings of it going on at the moment. The social media around that has got a lot of great actions for cockatoos, and it's a fantastic, compelling film, and just really gets to what we need to do to save all of these cockatoo species and allow them to recover and have a place in this wonderful country with us.